The Christmas season is known for its holiday songs, and I want to ask you, maybe even in the comments there, to share your favorite Christmas song. What is that song that for you so symbolizes the season? Like when you hear it, and maybe it's because you're decorating the tree when you first hear that Christmas song, or maybe you have an event, you go and cut down the tree. I know for some of you, our Christmas Eve service is so critical, so vital, and the songs that we sing during that service. But what is it? What's your favorite Christmas song? I'd ask you to throw that in the comments. And I ask you because our Christmas sermon series this year is built around four different songs of the season. We've titled the sermon series, Born as the King. Born as the King. And so we're going to be looking at the birth of Jesus, who is the King, the Savior, who's come into the world. And as we do so, each Sunday, we're going to pick a different song. And so if you're looking for your Hope Sermon Series Spotify playlist, here it is. You'll notice there's no Mariah Carey anywhere in this playlist. No, I'm just kidding. But today, we're going to look at the First Noel. Next week, Pastor Steve's going to look at O Come All Ye Faithful. Silent Night is going to be the heart, the theme of our Christmas Eve service. And we have a Christmas Eve service that will be produced and put together and made available for you throughout that day. But we're also going to be looking to host an in-person Christmas Eve service that is outdoors, 4:30 on Christmas Eve in the Hope East parking lot behind me on the other side of that exterior wall over there. We're going to have a very short Christmas Eve service built around the theme of Silent Night, readings and carols. And then we'll close out the series the last Sunday in December with O Holy Night. But we're looking at songs of the season because as compelling as they are musically, and maybe just through rote memorization, we remember these songs, they're often rich, deep. They speak of truths in regard to Jesus in his coming. The fancy theological word is incarnation. God became a man. Divinity took on human flesh. And so we're going to go deeper into each of these songs, looking at what they might have to say, how they might speak to us afresh this Christmas season about the birth of a king, the birth of our king, the birth of Jesus. So we already sung it, but I want to walk through the lyrics in anticipation for going to God's word. We're going to spend some time in Matthew chapter 2, looking at an account of the Magi, or maybe more well known as the three wise men. But before we do, I want to walk through some of these lyrics. I'm not going to sing. I've made that promise to you many times, and I will uphold that promise here this morning. But the first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born as the King of Israel. And so this is referencing an account from Luke's gospel. We're not going to go into Luke's account today. Pastor Steve, in all likelihood, during the song, O Come All Ye Faithful, will, because there's much more angelic presence. If you remember that account from Luke, the angels, the great multitude of the heavenly hosts fill the sky. But that's what's being referenced in the first stanza here of the first Noel. Continuing on, they looked up and saw a star. Now, if you actually are singing this, you artists, you creatives, you challenge us sometimes, because when I see this, I think I'm going to be saying looked, but that's not how we sing it. We sing instead, look up. It's challenging, just so you know, for us non-musical people, you challenge us. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east. Going to be giving more attention in our later gospel account to that star being seen, but shining in the east, beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light. And so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. And now kind of getting more into a secondary account within the song, but also turning the page in the gospel account from Luke 2 to Matthew 2, we see this. And by the light of that same star, so kind of this star that was seen by the shepherds, three wise men came from country afar. Now, what do we know about the three wise men? And I quote Steve from a previous Christmas sermon. What do we know about the three wise men? We're not entirely sure there were three of them. We're not entirely sure that they were wise, and we're not entirely sure it was men. Other than that, we're crystal clear on who they are, but coming from country afar to seek for a king was their intent and to follow the star wherever it went. So you just get this imagery, both in the case of the shepherds and in the case of the magi or wise men or however your biblical accounts speak to it, of life being interrupted and they being called to travel, being called to go somewhere. Where? Obviously to see the newborn king, Jesus. Noel, 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 born is the king of Israel, of Israel. This star drew nigh to the northwest, and this is, we're getting into lyrics that maybe you don't often sing, but that this star drew nigh to the northwest, or Bethlehem it took its rest, and there it did both stop and stay, stop and stay, because we needed to get a rhyming word with lay, so it didn't just stop, it stayed, stop and stay, right, or the place where Jesus lay, Noel, 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 born is the king of Israel. Continuing on, they entered in, those wise men three, fell reverently upon their knee and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. And then again, the chorus, and perhaps you're aware or remembering the different gifts that were brought to the baby Jesus. And then this, which I'm not actually sure I've ever read this lyric. I'm not sure my eyes have ever seen this prior to this week. Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind has bought. So just this idea that we as God's people, we as the church, are going to with one voice sing praises to the Lord. But the one that made heaven and earth from nothing is the same one that by his blood, by his shed blood on the cross, will save. He will purchase, he will buy, he will redeem his people. Noel, 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 born is the king of Israel. So a lot of depth, a lot of meaning, a lot of richness in those lyrics. I want to take a moment to just give some of the background, a short history, if you will, of this song. Some of you, this does not interest you in the least. For some of you, there's perhaps a passing interest. For some of you, you get really excited about this, and what I'm going to give you is not nearly enough. But I found that this was an old folk song that came about in the Middle Ages and was sung far and wide many times against poor working class peasants, but was put into writing in 1823 and then published in 1833. First by Davies Gilbert, and then followed up by a lawyer named William Sandys, or Sandys, who loved music, and even though a lawyer, spent his spare time collecting French and English folk songs. What does the word Noel mean? And my wife and I actually disagreed this morning on it. She was going out to the car and kind of explaining that I'm getting ready to do the sermon, and we're both right, kind of. The word Noel actually has no less than four possible meanings. I'll leave it to you once I get through this, which of those you want to apply, but certainly from the French, we get this kind of Joyeux Noël, which would be Merry Christmas. So in that case, the word is translated Christmas. That's my wife's take on it. We also have our modern English word coming from a Middle English word that's spelled N-O-W-E-L, so Noel with a W in the middle there, which is more known as a Christmas song, a Christmas carol. So Noel, in that sense, being a song or a carol. It's possible that it comes from the old French Nael, N-A-E-L, which is in turn derived from the Latin natalis, meaning birth. So the first Nael, the first natalis, the first birth. So the first Christmas, the first carol, or the first birth, and then a small possibility, small likelihood that Noel could stand for news, the shepherds, the magi speaking of the news of the birth. So in all likelihood, either the first Christmas or the first birth, maybe a little bit weird to sing Noel, 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 Noel if you're translating it birth, that you would just repeatedly say birth, 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 birth. Maybe better translated Christmas like my wife suggests. But interestingly enough, and then I'll move on to other things. Interestingly enough, one particular English use of description or translation of this song, one version, instead of saying Noel, translated it Owell. O-H space W-E-L-L. Owell, Owell, the angels did say, to shepherds there in the fields did lay, late in the night, afolding their sheep, a winter's night, both cold and bleak. Owell, oh well, oh well, oh well, born is the King of Israel. Oh well, like the birth of the King, the birth of the Savior. A multitude of the heavenly hosts fill the night sky. Shepherds are sent, magi are sent, all to the stable to come and take in the newborn King, that we might with one voice say, oh well. I mean, like, what? Like, who did that? What artist, what creative said, oh well? But it caused me to think maybe we should, like, have a social media, and this is not my job, this is not my area, but maybe Kaya would consider doing this week, like, favorite Christmas songs, wrong answers only. Have you guys seen those memes and those gifts going around? Just like, what's your favorite Christmas song? Wrong answers only. I just even thought of the lyric of falling on your knees in worship, you know, of Jesus during the season. I just like, falling on my knees? Are you crazy? I got bad knees. I'm not doing that. How about falling on frozen peas? Because then my knees would actually be taken care of, you know, iced down as I'm worshiping God. But maybe we'll do that this week or in the next couple weeks here. Favorite Christmas song. Wrong answers only. With that, though, I do want to get into Matthew's account of the birth and kind of this experience of the Magi coming to the Lord Jesus here. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And so you get that idea again that I mentioned when we were going through the song lyrics of there's an interruption, a great disruption of life because of the birth of Jesus. So much so that the Magi have taken upon themselves to travel a great distance to Jerusalem. Why? Because if there was a king of the Jews, you would expect him to be born in Jerusalem. So they ask the question, where is this king? We have come a great distance to worship him. It says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. You can just imagine kind of that news spreading. And I know for us, it would be like something going viral, but for them, you just kind of get that murmuring kind of going throughout the city. Verse 4, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, the king asked them where the Messiah was to be born, the promised one, this coming one, this king. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And so the Magi come inquiring, where is this king? King Herod, hearing that there's a rival king, seemingly who was just born, takes a great interest. And they find those chief priests, those religious leaders and teachers that would know of this ancient prophecy. And they say, not in Jerusalem, but in Bethlehem, outside of Jerusalem, in a fairly nondescript town. Not a lot would be expected of Bethlehem. Not a lot. Certainly not the kind of city that you think would bring forth an epic ruler, a king, a savior. Thus the prophecy that says, you are by no means least, but from you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And we can already see the different responses of the people. The Magi coming from a great distance. This one born as a king. But born as a king maybe to a certain group of people, but certainly not to King Herod. To King Herod, he is born a threat. We'll see in later accounts of the Gospels that Jesus is born a teacher, but not a savior, not a king, not a ruler, not a priest, not a prophet, a teacher. For those who are sick, he will be seen as a healer. To the religious leaders, he'll become to be known as a blasphemer, somebody who calls himself God. To Mary and Joseph, he will be a son to the world. To you, to me, who do you say that he is? Do you see him as your king, as your savior, as your ruler, as your shepherd? Continuing on in verse 7, it says, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. A couple comments very briefly. Then Herod calling the Magi, finding this out, oh, that I want to go worship him. No, it's not true. King Herod wants to take the newborn baby, this one born a king, he wants to take Jesus out. And then we see this idea of the Magi being on their way, traveling from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to go and find the child, to follow the star. It just causes me to consider all those different times in Scripture in which people are sent. This kind of theology of being sent, that God many times will send a people or send a person or send a leader or send a prophet. I was just thinking through of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Isaiah. Here I am, send me, right? I think of the disciples being sent, or Jesus, many traveling companions, men and women being sent, or traveling with Jesus. Even in these two Christmas accounts, the shepherds being sent from tending their flock to go tend to the Lord Jesus, and these Magi from a distant land, this idea of being sent, and ultimately all of those small pictures giving greater attention, greater focus on Jesus who is sent by the Father into the world, right? The great sent one of God, Jesus, born in a stable, born in Bethlehem, born a king and savior. It caused me also to just think of one of the seasonal experiences that some of us have, that of Christmas caroling. You ever think about that? Like, what makes that special? What makes that unique? One of the places I do sing is in the shower or in my car when I'm alone, right? Others of us sing loud and proud in church or at concerts. But almost universally, you know what we don't do? We don't go up to neighbors, knock on their door, stand on their sidewalk, and sing. Like, that's just not something we do. But this season, we've already had a family from Hope, Jordan and Emily, and their two girls come and serenade us. How compelling, how fun, how enjoyable. There's scent, and they bring Christmas cheer as they sing a song. Just caused me to think of the connections of something like Christmas caroling, going out, being sent, doing something that you would never do at any other point of the year. Knock, 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 step back and just serenade your neighbor. Serenade a stranger. It's crazy, right? It's absurd. But it fits within this season. And in a small way, it mirrors what Jesus has done as the sent one. As the sent one with a beautiful song to sing to the world of his goodness and his justice and his mercy and his salvation. I want to read from Kent Hughes on this Christmas reality. We must accept the essential spiritual fact of the incarnation, that Jesus was born a man, that divinity and humanity come together. The Lord comes to needy people, those who realize that without him, they cannot make it. Those who acknowledge their weakness and spiritual lack, the incarnation, salvation, resurrection, Christmas, are not for the proud and the self-sufficient. And I love this. Why? Because it helps explain the account. Why go to shepherds? Why go to magi? Why would you not start with King Herod, the one who's powerful? Because King Herod has no need for Jesus. King Herod wants to kill Jesus. But Jesus shows up to the commoner, to the blue collar. The night sky lights up to the shepherds. This star leading the magi, the astrologers, these wise men, these professed wise men. And both respond. Both are drawn to. Both recognize something is leading them. This star in the night sky is leading them to someone very, very important. And I think by extension, as you examine your life, as you examine your work, as you examine your family, as you examine your hobbies, as you examine how you spend your time, how you spend your money, as you think about Christmas, as you think about the Lord Jesus, do you acknowledge your own weakness, your own frailty, your own need for something, for someone greater? I'm convinced that one of the most important parts of 2020 is God tearing down so much that is folly, that is false. God tearing down so many things that we've held dear, held precious, that in the long term don't hold great meaning. We see in the Old Testament this kind of ancient experience of going and tearing down idols, that these statues and these pillars would be put up to unknown gods. You just see prophets going and tearing them down. Why? So that God's word, that God's salvation might be esteemed, might be lifted up as those things are torn down. And I just see in this year so many times idols of comfort, of control, of just being able to secure the environment that we want. It's just been ripped out of our hands, feeling powerless, isolated, alone. If 2020 has taught us anything, it is we are a needy people. And I hope that in the midst of our needs, in the midst of our brokenness, amidst our struggle, that we would be turning to Jesus again and again and again as our satisfaction, as our peace, as our mercy, as our justice, as our salvation. The passage closes out here with, when they saw the star, the magi were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, why? Because he's going to kill him. They returned to their country by another route. Getting the chance to see, getting a chance to bow down, getting a chance to worship and share these gifts with Jesus. Not unlike us, not unlike the church here now, re-celebrating Christmas, gathering around the newborn baby Jesus, presenting our gifts, bowing down in worship. I want to read this quote from J.I. Packer on the mystery and beauty of the incarnation, on the mystery and beauty that there in that infant child is God. It's just a crazy, it almost feels oxymoronic that God as king, as powerful, is in this helpless infant child. About that, J.I. Packer says, the staggering Christian claim is that Jesus of Nazareth was God made man, and that he took humanity without loss of deity, without loss of divinity, so that Jesus of Nazareth was as truly and fully divine as he was human. It is here in the thing that happened at the first Christmas, the first Noel, that the profoundest and most unfathomable depths of the Christian revelation lie. The Word, God, was made flesh. God became man. The divine Son became a Jew. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and wriggle and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. And there was no illusion or deception in this. The babyhood of the Son of God was a reality. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as is this truth of the incarnation. The incarnation, fancy theological word that says God and humanity came together in the person of Jesus. Crazy, absurd, fantastic, amazing, special. In a moment, I'm going to take the bread and the cup, which is a practice, an exercise that we do in the church to remember the broken body of Jesus, the cracker, the bread, whatever you might have as physical food, and the cup symbolic of Jesus' blood being poured out, whatever you can find to drink. And before closing, I want to read words of a different song. The song that sing is titled Come and Stand Amazed. It's one of my favorites from this season. Come and stand amazed. Because for all that you and I might do in this season, there's going to be a lot of hustle and bustle, purchasing of gifts. There might be responsibilities, obligations, Christmas traditions. There might be a lot to get done, even as we experience this Christmas a little bit differently than years past. But just because we have had an alteration to our life doesn't mean that we will come and stand amazed at Jesus. We could just as easily get distracted, just as easily turn our attention to something else, to someone else, just as easy to not stand amazed as to actually take time and stand amazed. I'm thinking of you that might be new parents out there. It's so easy to make that infant the center of your world, the center of your lives, the center of your worship. But think about it from the child's perspective. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of responsibility to bear. That they would grow up and bear the weight of all your worship, all of your desires, all the things that you didn't get done in life that you want to place upon your infant child. For some of you kids out there, teenagers, students, there's a great desire to be accepted. There's a great desire to get all of your worship to being a friend, to being accepted in your peer group. Come and stand amazed, not at that. Don't fill your Christmas with that, but rather come and stand amazed at Christ. So many who are watching this are by the world standards rich, wealthy, of sufficient means, where you're not worrying about your next meal. And even so, how much of our time, how much of our attention, how much of our worship is centered on that human security, that human nest egg, that financial portfolio? I'm not saying it's inconsequential. I'm just saying, is that what we're standing around amazed at? Perhaps even this year, some of that's been pulled out. Your financial outlook at the end of the year is not as positive as when the year started. And there's this temptation to double down, to fix all of that, I'd encourage you during this Christmas season to come and stand amazed at Jesus. For those who really look out at 2021 with a degree of fear, anxiety, concern, worry, depression, it is so tempting to try to get out from those feelings with any number of pursuits. And I'd encourage you, I'd ask you, come and stand amazed. Come and look again at the one born a king. With that, I want to take communion as we remember Jesus. Before we sing a final song, let me pray for us who are a needy people, us who are a people that so many times give ourselves to pride or self-sufficiency. No, 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 friends, come to Jesus. You who are needy, you who recognize that we cannot do this on our own. And with that, let me pray in reading these words from the song, Come and Stand Amazed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come and stand amazed. See how God is reconciled. See his plans of love accomplished. See his gift, this newborn child. See the mighty, weak, and tender. See the Word who now is mute. See the sovereign without splendor. See the fullness destitute. See how humankind received him. See him wrapped in swaddling bands. Who as Lord of all creation rules the wind by his commands. See him lying in a manger without sign of reasoning. Word of God to flesh surrendered. He is wisdom's crown, our King. O Lord Jesus, God incarnate, who assumed this humble form, counsel me and let my wishes to your perfect will conform. Light of light, dispel my darkness. Let your frailty strengthen me. Let your meekness give me boldness. Let your burden set me free. O Emmanuel, my Savior, let your death be life for me. Amen.